pure. The title of this. And we may hear it and we take it for granted because as we've done other things, we've allowed us as humans to now distort the definition of this word. Just going over that verse again in Titus 1, 15 through 16, it says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. And unfortunately, in our world today, when you hear the word pure, you instantly think it means good. No, pure means it is what it really is. If that's you know, a good definition to kind of get it. It is what it really is. So we understand that Jesus being the answer and in the way, he tells us what it is. So to the pure, I know when something's evil and I know when something's good because Jesus said it. To those who are not pure, who are corrupted, you'll hear them be wishy-washy. They'll call something pure when they are okay with it and it's mixed with God, but some of their opinion and what somebody else said, or yes, you were, that's why it's called corrupted. It's sometimes pure. When one person does it, then it's wrong. When another person does it, well, it's okay. And this is where he's saying, and he really broke down those who are corrupted. It says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupt. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. And it should hit people hard when we're wishy-washy, when we're hypocrites, because all of that is impurity. And impurity is a dangerous spot to be. And we have to understand, purification is not something you can do. It only comes from God. And purification comes from God. And we're going to see how we actually get that. And it is his blood that cleanses us. Now, as we talked about last week, some people use that in a random way and they try to throw it around. And, you know, and even when we sing song, nothing but the blood of Jesus, a lot of people still don't understand what that means. In his death, his blood is cleansed. Because remember, we all have what's called a sinful nature, but now we have the blood of Christ in us. After his death, we spiritually have the blood of Christ, which cleansed that bad blood out of us and cleansed us not only from our past sins, but from us being locked into being sinners. In other words, being slaves to our flesh. So that's what that has done for us. And that's where we last left off. So now, this is how we gain purity, by receiving and obeying God's word. Okay, this is how we get it from God. We have to receive it from him. But the process we see is in John 17, 15 through 21. Now, remember, John 17 is the prayer that God the Son, Jesus, was praying to God the Father. And he says a bunch of things in there that kind of open up our eyes. But he says something very clearly about what sanctification is and understanding how purity works. He says, starting in verse 15 of John 17, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. That's very important first. That's what sanitation. You know, I mean, when you get the ones who become Christians and we, like I said, go into our own little Christian whatever, away from the world, I'm not even gonna watch that show, and I'm not even gonna listen to that. I'm not gonna be around those people, and I'm not gonna wear that, and I'm not gonna. And we get so sanitized because we've just become these clean, overly clean. That's not what he's saying. He even said that to God. I'm not telling you to take them out of the world. That's why we're here. He says, but that you protect them from the evil. I'm the evil one. Okay. And we know we're protected as long as we stay in his love, stay in his protection. And he says very clear, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, what does it mean to be of the world? We went through a whole session of it, things of the world, to understand it. And in a nutshell, is when the world becomes my purpose. So in other words, my purpose for being in the world is going to be different than a worldly person. Why? Because the world defines them. They try to find themselves. They try to be happy. Their situations, all that stuff comes to them based on the world. We as Christians happen to be in the world. God defines us. So I don't let definitions that the world tell me I'm supposed to be. God tells me what I'm supposed to be. When God tells me it's beautiful only when God says it, not when the world says it, so on and so forth. And we follow that. And that's why he says, even as I am not of it. So Jesus came in the world, but not being of it. He says, watch this, sanctify them by the truth. And then he makes clear, so none of us can get it confused, your word is truth. Do you get that? So we're sanctified by this word. That's how he does this to us. He says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctified myself. Basically, he who is the word did exactly what his father told him, that they too may be truly sanctified. So he did it. Remember, he says, the world must learn. I do exactly what my father tells me. So we do exactly what our father tells us. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He's talking about the first the disciples, and then all that follow what the disciples preached. Very important. Not to say because I became a Christian, listen to somebody else. It's going to come from the word. That's very important. If I convince somebody else to become a Christian through some other means and they didn't come from the word, are they really saved? And that's an important part, because to accept Christ, I have to get it from the word. Verse 21 says, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. A big part of us ministering to the world is our oneness, which is non-existent today. And it's non-existent because due to the lack of the word, we have allowed other priorities and desires to get in the way. And that's why you go to some churches and they'll read books and they'll bring up other facts and things that are interesting, but they're not staying grounded in the word. And we see this, and I mean, we see how we're supposed to continue to be purified by the word in 1 Peter 1, 22 through 23. It says, now that you have been, watch this, now that you have purified yourself by what? Obeying the truth. Ah, so it takes it further. I have to first get the truth, then I have to do the truth. If you're just a reader and you can even be a knower, still hasn't done anything. It cleanses you as you do it. And once again, the same group that usually believes eternal security are the ones that take away any works. Now, remember, our works do not make us righteous, right? But it's our works that show if we are, that we've accepted the righteousness that we've gotten from him. And big part of it is doing what he says. He's saying, purify yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Now, that word sincere is another one of those words that we've used incorrectly. I bet you most people, if you ask, what does it mean if I said I sincerely love somebody? Now, in the world, their definition means I really mean it. I really mean it. So that means it's based on me. True sincerity is based on God. You get what I'm saying? So despite how I feel, I'm going to love you. That's sincere love. You see the difference? So you got some people right now that are trying to feel a way. I want you so I don't hate you, and I'm trying to feel, and I'm trying, and we make it about us. That's why you have Christians walking around holding grudges, and you have Christians walking around doing stuff based off of what they feel and what you've done to them. And God was like, you don't get it. It's not about you. But a sincere love would be, I in the flesh struggle with that, but I in the spirit, trusting in God, am loving you because of God. And it'll be displayed. It won't be me just going, yeah, I love you. It will be shown. Because remember, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13, love is an action. So that's what he said. But if I obey the truth, then I will have sincere love for my brother, not this fake love that we have. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. And once again, another word we've distorted. He doesn't talk about that deep feeling you have inside when he says from the heart. He's talking about the purpose you have. And that's going to be the purpose, which should be God. So love him deeply from the God in you, from God, from your godly purpose. He says, for you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So this Bible, why should you be deep in it? Why do we have Bible study? Why do I tell you to read daily? Why are you hearing it in church? Why do we give so much scripture? Why? Because this is the thing that's cleansing you, that you get saved by, that gives you guidance. So when we see people that are very passive when it comes to the word and, you know, have other things and they get too busy, they're hurting themselves and people that depend on them. Because this word is a thing that purifies us. And this is what we need. And he says through this living and enduring word of God. Now, purity leads the path to eternal life. You get that? Okay. So it's getting us to that eternal life that we have accepted. It says in Romans 6, 22 through 23, it says, but now that you have been set free from sin. So that's where the cleansing happened. Because the cleansing in the blood, and that is what's called the sinful nature, when we had the nature of Adam and Eve in us, the cleansing cleansed us. So now we have the nature of Christ in us. That's the spirit nature instead of the fleshly nature. Now, even though the fleshly nature exists, it doesn't have a hold on us anymore because we're supposed to be spiritual. And he says, and have become slaves to God. So it's not just something where I have a title. I'm actually now 100%. He is our master. We do for him 100% what he says. And then it makes clear the benefit you reap leads to holiness. So I can't just remember, even when it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy back in there, they had to do some physical things to represent holiness. Now we have full access to true holiness. Why? Because now we're set free, we're spiritual, and now we get this thing called holiness. We grow in holiness to be holy as he is holy. It goes on and says, and the result is eternal life. That's the whole process that we go through of salvation. Set free from sin when you accept Christ, become slaves to God. So there's a pattern in the growth you have to go through. Because remember, if you choose not to do it, you're still headed to hell. If you still live for sin, even though you're not a slave for it, you're still headed to hell. But he's saying, but a person who becomes a slave to God and just does it because God says it, not because of circumstances, not because of outcome, but you're doing it because of God, that's what a slave does, you're going to benefit and get you to become holy. Here's the problem. A lot of us live for feelings, for outcomes, for situations. Now think about it. If everything I did for God, everything turned out desirable. Let's say I went through that for 10 years, okay? And I would be, you know, elated and happy because it would feel good. So I'd have the combination of feeling and me doing what God says. But what happens if I went through then a year where even though I'm still doing for God, everything went wrong? Would I still be following God? And was my original purpose for God in the first place? And that's what people are finding out. I know sometimes we walk on eggshells being very careful because I don't want a person to leave. And then God allows something devastating to happen. Why? Because he doesn't want those living for anything else but him. See, we get people that'll preach God with benefits for the flesh, if that makes sense. You understand that? If you do this, God will give you this. It's almost like getting a treat for doing what, you know, we see animals and stuff like that. They do a trick and you give them a treat. And, you know, we want that treat. We want the benefit. Even though we did listen to you, I still want a treat. Well, God is saying, oh, no, there's a benefit to it, but not for the flesh necessarily. Do you understand that? So we do it because he said so. Period. Even if everything falls, I'm like, why did you do it? Because he said so. You understand that? Job got it, but a lot of times we don't. That's why Christians fall off today, because it's like, I've been doing this and I'm tired and blah, blah, blah. And they make up all these excuses instead of realize, no, the purpose I'm doing it is for him. And that's how we have to keep focused. And this is what we have to encourage each other in, gently encourage each other in this, because a lot are going through this and we tend to look at the situation and, oh, don't worry, everything will get better. Instead of saying, no, stay strong in him and the less that this situation or situations will affect you. So this is how this whole process works. Once again, freed from sin, become a slave to God despite your situation or the outcomes. You'll benefit because you'll be holy, and holiness will allow you to be encompassed in any situation and still serve him and be a light to him because it's based on him. And then, of course, we have eternal life. And he makes clear, for the wages of sin is death. If I keep living in sin, the only thing that can afford it is death. I have to, the only way I can pay for it, because everybody has to pay for it one way or the other, is death. If you accept the Christ, death already paid for it. He died to pay for sin. Say, you know what I mean? It says, but the gift, and that's why it's called a gift, it's not, we didn't earn this, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powerful, and this thing we need, and this is our purity and why purity is so important for us to have. Now, do not mistake purity with living by works. Now, I want to make this clear, because as we went through this, some people say, okay, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to work as hard as I can. We're going to try to understand and get an understanding of what the difference is of works and purity, and when the works will show it. It shows in Acts 15, 6 to 11, it says, the apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them. just as he did us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Okay? And this is why it even attaches, once again, how sound doctrine works. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God, and the word of God is what purifies. You see how this whole, it just all comes together? And it says he purified their hearts by faith. In other words, as long as they grew in the word and had the faith, they were being purified. It says, now, then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. What is he talking about here when he says, why are you trying to put on the necks of disciples? They were trying to go back to where you in the Old Testament was trying to be righteous. What he's saying here, no, they're getting righteousness to them. Why you keep coming down here adding these extra terms of what you couldn't do? He's saying the Israelites failed at that, which was a given. They couldn't do it without God. And that's what the law showed. The law was put in place for me to go, I could do it, and then fail miserably and realize I need God. But you had some of these people, self-righteous people, that were like, no, you must do these and follow them and be righteous like me, even though they were not righteous. And that's where the Pharisees and Sadducees were failing. So it wasn't me going out and trying to do the work on my own. No, the work will be displayed when I allow him to. It'll be a product of faith to show the evidence that I've truly accepted him. So we must understand that grace is more than just forgiveness of sins. It's important for us to recognize grace. What is grace? Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's the first thing. Okay, so I know we've seen, I don't know if everybody saw, there's an island over in off of India where they're saying it's the one civilization people have not really, that have not touched any outside civilizations. And helicopters and planes try to fly over there and they throw arrows at them and stuff like that. If you get a chance, look it up. I can't remember the name of it. And they said even a minister, he tried to go over there and he killed him instantly. And they said they were cannibals, so on and so forth. So somebody asked the question, well, what about them? You know what I mean? Nobody got to them, so how are they going to know God? Once again, we limit God. He just said the grace of God has appeared to all men. Now, by my sight, I agree with those people. By my sight, by my spirit and my trust in God, nope, they're going to have the same chance, even though you may go, I don't see it. Exactly. You don't see it. But it's not based on what you see. By my faith and what he says, one way or the other, they're going to be covered. And that means either they're going to accept or they're not. And we have to understand that. Because he said the salvation that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It says it teaches. So now we're seeing even further that this grace does more, once again, than just gives us a forgiveness of sins. It does something. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and the worldly passions. It teaches us. Grace teaches us. See, when man got the access to the knowledge of good and evil, problem is, he didn't know what to do with it. He knows it now, but he didn't know what to do with it. Because even today, a lot of stuff that we know is wrong, especially because it's clear in the Bible, we understand it's wrong, but we struggle with it. God, I'm having a hard time with this. You understand? But grace teaches us, if it's wrong, it's wrong, based on God. And not only does it teach, you know, how to deal with ungodliness and worldly passions, it also teaches what you're supposed to do and to live controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. He's talking about, and I should have highlighted this, he's making that very clear to us that it teaches us what not to do, and then it teaches us what to do. It's a powerful source and the thing that we need. It says, while we wait for the blessed hope. So while we're waiting for Christ, grace is teaching us to those who are being taught. You understand that? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, watch this, to redeem us. That means he bought us back from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And that's another word, eager in a worldly sense is a feeling. I really want to do it. You know, a lot of us go off of that feeling I get when I really want to do something. It's not the eager he's talking about. Eager means, despite how I feel, I'm really going to do it. I'm driven to do it based off of my faith in him, not off of my feeling in me. You understand that? That's why it says a people for of his very own that you see craving and striving for him based on him. Hopefully you get that. So that's, but he's saying he purified himself so the people are doing it purely for him. Problem is you get these people that are corrupted and they do some things for Christ and some things for this group of people they're hanging with and some things for their family and some things for this agenda and so on and so forth. That's corruption. And those people are doomed. Now, it is our choice if we will be pure or impure. Please understand that. Okay, it's a choice. And how we will be used by God. When he says, yeah, sure.
Are all of us corrupted, though?
We all were corrupted, but we are cleansed. The problem is a lot of us still live in corruption.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that even though in a way we think that we're doing good, we're still corrupted.
And the problem is because we're not living pure. Now, and it's a good, great question because it might hit a lot of people, just like you just asked. It's good that you asked that question. You're like, well, man, we're all doomed. It is not that we're all doomed. We have this opportunity, but it is more that are doomed than I think we think. That's why it's called terrible times. We're living in a time where we could be living and acting pure, but we've allowed so much corruption. That's why you see us giving a pass. We like to hear eternal security. We like to hear, oh, we're just human. We like to hear, don't worry, you know, people are going to do that. We give our kids a pass. We give ourselves a pass. And we just live in the nature of our flesh, still calling ourselves Christian, while we have the power to be pure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully it is shaking people up. Because that's our problem today. The reason why we're so siloed as Christians, the reason why we are, you know, wishy-washy and we're swayed back and forth is because the lack of growth and the corruption that we allow and are still allowing. Some of the information we take in and follow along with the Bible is called corruption. Like I said, a pure glass of water. If I add something to it, you still have a glass of water. It's just no longer pure. And whatever I added to it, it could be dangerous. But if you drink the water, you still are getting water in you, but you're still, whatever the effects of that other stuff is still going to exist. So you got these Bible readers, but they're listening to this garbage. And understand, sometimes the garbage comes in as wolf in sheep's clothing. So you get some people that act like they're using the Bible, and they'll give you this message, and you're so caught in by it that you never check. Now you're following corruption and trying to follow the Bible, and you're confused, and you don't understand it. So hopefully, I'm glad you reemphasize that. Yes, we are all still living corrupt. Well, we're not supposed to be. Let's stop. We have this opportunity and we have the power to do it. That's why I'm saying it's a choice. So that even leads into, we didn't have that plan, but that was good. It leads into the next thing where it says, it is our choice if we will be pure and pure and how we will be used by God. It's a choice. So when he says in 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. So he's saying in a house exists all this junk. And he says some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble purposes. That means not noble, for some of you didn't know. Okay. But so noble purposes and ignoble. Now watch what he says. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, if he cleanses himself from the ignoble purposes, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, what does that mean? Big thing, and I think the order of my steps, God willing, will be doing is on distractions. What we've allowed, and we can blame some of it on Satan, but a lot of it is us, is we've allowed many other purposes in our lives today, okay? And if the purpose is not of God or for God, it's an ignoble purpose. If I said I'm living to have the greatest career and that's my purpose, it's ignoble. Pastor, isn't that a noble thing? No, it's not. Now, if I'm living to serve God and my career plays in that, amen. But only God will guide how I do in my career. If I go, I'm living for my family, for them to have the best that I want out of them, that's ignoble because it's based on me and what I want. You understand that. However, if I live for God, then however my family works through that agenda and works in that is how I'm living. Y'all see the difference here? And that's what he says. If I cleanse myself from these other purposes. Now, we have these other things in our lives, but I'm not supposed to live for these other things. And that's what messes us up. Because some things that even the world says is a good thing, when I live for it, next thing I know, God takes a back seat. And that's why most people want to live my life. You know, I want a white picket fence. I want, you know, a spouse and some kids, and I want my job. I want a career. I want this and that. And I'll go to church on Sunday. They want to have this pattern, but they're really living for themselves. They're living ignoble. Y'all catch that? When I'm God purpose, I'm always looking, despite my career, despite my family, despite my health, despite all of that stuff, I'm looking to, okay, God, what do you want me to do next? So in my career, I'm ministering. In my relationships, I'm ministering. And with my children, I'm ministering. In my health, whether it be good, bad, I'm ministering. Why? Because I want to be used by God. My purpose is God. And you'll see how it reacts. The person who's living for noble purposes won't get an attitude when somebody does something to them. Why? Because it's not about them. However, if I'm ignoble, I'm not going to let you just talk to me that way. You see the difference? It becomes about me. You see the problem here? And this is a choice that we all have full access to. And he's saying the one who chooses to be used for purpose, and if a man cleanses himself, remember we saw the clean. So the Bible will tell me how I'm supposed to disconnect and be connected to him completely. Then he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. A lot, but most today, unfortunately, are ignoble. And it's something we got to keep in mind. And once again, you're seeing it from the word, because I think a lot of ministers look at this, and I've heard one minister even say, well, we can't preach that because it's saying everybody's doomed. Unfortunately, if we keep going in the path we're going, yes, we are. So this is why we have to get serious with God. Are you 100% God purposed? So now you take all that other stuff and make it filter through God, and it's going to change your decisions. It's going to change and readjust which way you're going. And yeah, sometimes you're going to lose something. Sometimes you're going to gain something. But it's never about those things. It's always about God. Hopefully that made sense. You know, I mean, it's something that's hard to swallow, but we need to get it. Now, the description of pure religion is helping the helpless in their needs and making sure we are not contaminated. So, you know, religion nowadays, some people think it's, you know, the songs they say, or the building you go to, or the clothes you wear, and, you know, the language you speak. It all comes down to these two things, and they all kind of fit into it. In James 1:26, it says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. So that's the first part. You know, if you're one of those that find yourself either apologizing or have to apologize, there's a problem. You know, I hopefully you're surrounded by people, and this is something you got to make the decision to do, that will be able to tell you when you talk incorrectly, who are able to rebuke you. Now, unfortunately, you have people that call themselves Christians, but people can't tell them because they'll get defensive, they'll get angry, they won't speak to them, once again, because it's about them, but they call themselves Christians. You know, I want somebody to come and say, Pastor, you probably shouldn't say it that way. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to dig through it to make sure it's not their interpretation and make sure it's biblically interpreted. But I still want that. You understand? You have to want that. And there's nothing wrong with making sure it's from God. But after you make sure it's from God, you better readjust it. So it's the first thing, a tight rein on his tongue. Because remember, what we put out there, we can damage people. We can curse and we can bless. And then it says he deceives himself when a person doesn't do that. It says, and his religion is worthless. So that's the first thing. But these other two things, this is the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, is going to show these two things. Is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, orphans and widows represented those who had a provider. And that's when they're orphans, because their parents, who are their providers, are gone, or their widows, where their husband, who is a provider, is gone. So it's saying in their distress, you look after them in their distress. You don't just take them in, but you look after them when they're in their distress. Now, be careful, because like 1 Timothy 5 kind of goes through a definition of what that means in their distress, because you may have some that don't really need the things, but that's a whole nother thing. But you're, so the in their distress is you're paying attention, you understand when they really need help and you're there to help in the Lord. And here's the second part, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Ah, did you catch that? Now, unfortunately, you'll get a Christian that doesn't know any better. We think that means I got to call the station and tell them stop playing these shows and tell the radio station stop playing this music and don't put up those billboards and stop dressing that way and so on and so forth. No. The world is a big pollution no matter what. There is no holy TV or holy this and holy in the world. We are the holiness in the world, and that's why we're strangers and aliens. And we are going to see that stuff. It's up to us if we allow it to pollute us. Did you catch that? That's why I said, go ahead.
I noticed that it didn't say anything about men that are in need.
Right. And the reason why I didn't say it, and this one is a cultural turn on it, because this one's talking about the helpless in their need. So the men, or you would talk about children, because men's job is to provide. That is a man's job. Now, of course, our culture changed to where we provide as both a husband and wife and so on and so forth. But when it comes down to it, the man's responsibility is to provide. Does that make sense?
So it's not saying that you don't help men that are in need.
No, it's not saying that. No. It's saying those who are without their provider, we recognize they're without their provider. We don't hold it against them and we don't beat them up. You know what I mean? We recognize they're without their provider. And when their provider is gone, we step in their distress. So, you know what I mean? They were looking for somebody to provide. Well, you may have to be a provider or help them get back on their feet or whatever it may take. And that becomes our responsibility. That's a religion. And not look at what I'm doing for you. No, this is what God's doing through you because I'm just following God. See the difference?
Okay.
So in this, once again, the polluted by the world, we have to understand. And that's why you'll hear me tell parents in the counseling. This is one of the supports that we use is when we raise our kids in avoidance. In other words, I don't let them watch this. I don't let them do this. I don't let them go around this friend. I don't let them do that. All that sounds great for that moment until they are exposed to them. What I mean by that is when they leave your house or when they're somewhere else, they're going to get polluted because you didn't teach them how to not be polluted. You just tried to keep them away from the pollution. And that's not what God said. It says to keep oneself from being polluted. We're surrounded by pollution, whatever it may come in. And you want to be able to be the one to go up. I'm going to walk away from this. You know what I mean? Or it's not going to affect me, or I'm not going to allow it to change how I'm supposed to. That's what pollution is. It's when it changes me in any way of what is pure. I allow this book or allow this lifestyle or allow these people to now change what God said. That's pollution. It makes us impure. Now, a major ingredient of godly wisdom is purity. Okay? When a person truly has godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, it's going to be 100% what God says. That's when you know it's godly wisdom. It won't be them quoting a whole bunch of worldly people, and it won't be due to some experience that they thought they had because they were the ones who went through it. It's going to be you hear it strongly based on what the Bible says. That's why it says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And why first of all pure? Because the rest of these things won't work because they'll be based on impure reasons. Like when it goes, first of all, pure, then peace loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. All of those words, there's fake imitations. There are fleshly definitions of all of these I just went through. Fleshly definition. You know what I mean? A human considerate person is one of the most dangerous ones because they enable people. They enable people. Like you'll have somebody who calls themselves considerate, and they'll keep giving to somebody and keeping that person not doing what they're supposed to because you keep filling in the hole. They keep digging. You know what I mean? A worldly submissive person actually becomes subservient because they work on it based on being a slave to and not realizing submission is an understanding of the roles. And you don't even recognize the roles in submission. Full of mercy, you know what I mean? You'll forgive them in their sin, not of their sin. What I mean by that is they're living in sin, and you're just kind of, oh, well, it's okay. It's like if a person's in a lifestyle that they're not supposed to, and you're almost crossing them off as, but they're still a Christian. And they'll mistake bad fruit for good fruit in that. And I go down the list, as you see here. That's why he says, first of all, pure. It has to be fully based on God before you can really get the full benefit of what each of these mean. Hopefully everybody has your arms wrapped around that. Very important, okay? It's a major ingredient of godly wisdom. If you truly have godly wisdom, it's going to be fully based on the word of God. I've heard some people who had some, what you may call wise, and as I hear them talk, you already know, because you're like, that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. You know what I mean? And you already, hopefully, you're putting your guard up and not just going, man, that person's bright. He's brilliant. Because they're saying a lot of stuff that sound, it's fine sounding stuff, but it's not based on God. It's impure. Now, a major part of our life ministry is purity. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 12 says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but watch this, set an example for the believers in what? Speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Of course, all these other things are they stand on their own when we talk about it, but the example we're talking about because of the topic today is I have to set an example in purity. I can't be wishy-washy. There was, I don't know if it'll be an order of my steps or another Bible study, but on hypocrisy. The Bible speaks of hypocrisy. We got more hypocrites down here than we should in the church. And how do you know you're a hypocrite? Like I said, when it comes to talking about something that God said is wrong, I'm passionate when it happens to this group, but I'm very forgiving when it happens to this group. That's wishy-washy. Why am I not the same? Or there are certain things that the Bible says that, man, I'll fight for. But that same Bible will say other things, and I'll go, oh, that's no big deal. That's impure. And my life example is ministering to people. I've seen people where they'll hear somebody go crazy over this, but did nothing on this, and you're supposed to be Christian. God is not impressed because you're passionate about this one thing he said. He's impressed with those who are passionate about everything he says, because purity is sound. It's the entire word of God. So I can't just pick and choose. And that's what is happening down here. We are so siloed in groups that chose certain things they're going to be passionate about, and they ignored the rest. And they're no different than unbelievers. Because remember, Sadducees, you hear me say the name, Sadducees, Pharisees, religious leaders, even though they were all, he said, they're all doomed, they're going to hell because this, they each three were siloed, and they all believed different things. And they all thought they were the top of the line of understanding and in God. And he was saying, no, they were all headed to hell. Please know that. My example of purity, I have to show consistency when it comes to God and the things of God. Please know that, because that's gone today. You just see these people very wishy-washy. And like I said, we pick sides. And if the side is not God 100%, then we're doing damage and our example is not being shown. So we must make sure our relationships are pure and not based on anything else. Now look at what he says here on our relationships. This is a good example here. It says in 1 Timothy 5, 1 to 2, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. Watch this. With absolute purity. Now, this absolute purity doesn't just go with the sisters, it goes with this whole entire passage. So, in other words, I don't rebuke an older man because God said it, first of all, based on God. I don't rebuke him harshly. He didn't say not to rebuke him at all. It's just how I would say something if he's doing wrong is going to be different than I would do somebody my age or younger. Now, see the difference. In other words, it says exhort him as if he were your father. Which means if I saw my dad doing wrong, there's a respect level. Even if it was wrong, I can't go to him and be as firm or say certain things in a way that I would that I would to my son. Do you understand that? But look what he says, treat your younger men as brothers. Now, this is very important because to treat your younger men as brothers and older women as mothers and your younger women as sisters. If we started on this, how we treat initially, then when you get to the dating side of it would be a whole different game. Do you understand that? When he says in all purity and how I see another person, they're first of all Like, you know, before my wife was my wife, she's my sister, based on what God says. And I'm going to treat her with the respect of my sister. I know some of you are saying, well, isn't she older than you? That wouldn't that make her your mother? No, no, that's something different. So no, she's my age. So we hit the same thing to where it says in all purity, you treat her like your sister. So in other words, you have that same respect and that same love and all that before. So then when you start getting into the part of you dating and all that, then all that will fall into place for God, because the all purity will start the relationship correctly. Unfortunately, we start straight into romance and straight into what we're attracted to. Once again, we start in all us. What I like, what I think of, the other person should be, how I think in that. You know what I mean? We give all that nonsense, and then we get into this corrupt, messed up stuff based on us, and then it just goes downhill. And God had nothing to do with it, but we get frustrated at God for it. So this all purity is, we had this relationship, and once again, we recognize their age, we recognize their level. That's putting a role out there, following what the Bible says. It would change how we are. But right now, we don't. You know what I mean? Once again, we don't have that same respect. We'll close on this last one. We must be aware of our spiritual relationship with others when it comes, when it concerns our purity. Where it shows this, so there's a spiritual relationship we have. As it says in 1 Timothy 5, do not be hasty in laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. Now, a lot of times we used to think that that meant, don't lay your hands on them. You know, when usually we do that when we're praying over somebody or whatever. This laying on of hands is when you're ordaining. In other words, it's saying do not be hasty in ordaining, and do not share in the sin of others. In other words, when he says keep yourselves pure, be careful on the people that you're counting as your religious leaders, as this and that. There are a lot of people out there that are just very dangerous that we've allowed in the ministry, that we, you know, churches have allowed in. He gives a very strict, you know, guideline to become a minister, and churches you don't follow it. And I get it why they don't. I mean, I'm in a position right now as being the only minister at a church, and you don't know how many times some people want me to fast track somebody just so I get, so you get a break is what they'll say, or so you have this. No, this is, he's like, oh, don't be that hasty. He said, don't share in the sins of others. That's why you have some churches, then they have these ministers and they got these problems, and they're like, what happened? Why? They were rushing, hoping it would just go away or not happen. You understand it? And it then it affects you, and then you're now part of this. What do you do, and how do you deal with it? When it says keep yourselves pure, you got to be careful, even those in the ministry and those that are participating in this. And so it's something that, once again, it's something we have control over. We just have to choose to do. We'll stop here. And I'm sure as you read through it, you're going to go through it again. You should have questions. Do we have any questions now? All right. Well, praise God. Once again, hopefully this is a blessing. Hopefully it's something you're learning and growing in. Continue to look into it and check yourselves, and maintain. We have to, first of all, be the purity that we're supposed to. So if you find that you are corrupt, take the cleansing he gives. Take the word and follow it in its purest form. Do exactly what your father says. Don't be a hypocrite. And we can be pure because we have full access to being it. So we'll continue on it, God willing, next week. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Dear Lord, once again, thank you for this opportunity to receive this message and to understand it. Let us search it to make sure everything is in line with what you are saying, dear God, that we're following it and we're being strengthened by you and we're being pure. We are displaying you in your purest form. Help us to be the body of Christ and not the separate feelings that we added our own things into it. Let us get rid of those extra things that we've allowed in our lives that we are doing, and help us, dear God, to live in the way that we are walking, in the way to shine your light to the world, so when others see us, they see you. Continual blessings on those who are struggling, those who are sick and shut in, dear Lord. And now help us to encourage in the way that your word tells us. Help us to be with one another as your word tells us. In all things that we do, we want to make sure we're representing you and glorifying you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Love you all.
Love you too. Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.